Joining me now to tell me how wrong or right I am and so much more, Rudy Giuliani wrote a best-selling book on leadership, former mayor of New York City, and like me, ordered LifeLock before he became a sponsor of this show. And, of course, you're an advocate for it. Rudy, welcome back.
Hi, how are you, Brian? Good to talk to you.
Same here. Mr. Mayor, did you watch or hear or able to look at the transcript from the president's remarks last night?
Yes, I was.
And your reaction to it?
Well, you know, I think the president sometimes wanders, and he probably did a little bit there. And I agree with you. A more powerful statement would have been just a very direct one as to why he's doing this. First of all, I mean, the reason he's doing this is because ISIS is becoming exceedingly dangerous. It has to be stopped. We've got to help the Kurds. We've defended and assisted the Kurds now for, you know, 25 years, all during the time that Saddam was there. If you're going to have a sustainable Iraq, you have to have sustainable, somewhat autonomous but still connected Kurdistan. You know, that's part of Iraq. So all of these are very sensible reasons for doing this, and it also shows finally that the president is willing to take some kind of military action, which I agree with. So I wasn't happy with the rhetoric at the last part, but I'm happy that he's taking some action.
Should we go ahead and identify ISIS the same way we identify Al-Qaeda? To me, we're not just helping Iraq when we hit ISIS. We're helping us.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, this I also agree with. I think finally, the administration has realized that backing Maliki was a terrible mistake, something that I and others warned them about starting 2 and 3 years ago, that Maliki was in the hands of Iran. Because of the work that I've done with Ed Brindell and Mike Mukasey and others with the Iranian freedom fighters, the people from the I began to realize 2 or 3 years ago, maybe even longer, that Maliki was in the pocket of Iran. He basically is a client of the mullahs and the Ayatollah. And this administration has been defending him, propping him up, supporting him until recently. Now, I have to say, I think they have finally realized that they've got to walk a very, very tight line here. They've got to do everything they can to limit ISIS, but they cannot bolster up Maliki because Maliki is just an extension of Iran.
That's true. And the leverage we had over him is what we were protecting him and we were training his forces. When we left, he had no reason to hide it. And he actually had no choice but to go to him because he wasn't ready to stand up on his own. He allowed Fallujah to fall, Ramadi to fall, Tikrit to fall. We did nothing as they formulated a 10,000-man force. Now, I want to inform you of something. You remember General Garner, right?
Mm-hmm.
General Garner, yeah, who's the first one in after Tommy Franks, and he also is a hero to the Kurds because he established the no-fly zone and allowed that democracy to flourish. He wrote me an email, and he says right now he's embarrassed because we refuse to arm the Peshmerga, the Kurds. We are letting them fight with outdated equipment against ISIS, who has all of our equipment because they stole it from the Iraqi army. So we're not even answering the call for support of Peshmerga, who is guarding the dam and holding on to Mosul and portions of Mosul and Kirkuk. How could that be allowed?
Well, I don't know, because we've gotten into supporting them, the Kurds, very, very, very slowly, piecemeal, rather than getting into it full bore, which we should have done, you know, several weeks ago when this emerged. So hopefully this action that's now being taken is going to be a step in the right direction, and we are going to start helping them fight off ISIS, start to isolate ISIS. Look, there are plenty of Sunnis in Iraq that are as opposed to ISIS as we are, very, very frightened of ISIS really extending their power. So there's a tremendous coalition that they've built up here. And it would be a way of reintegrating the Sunnis, the Kurds, and then hopefully the Shias who are willing to get rid of Maliki. They have a common enemy now.
Right. And by the way, the New York Times are reporting Maliki may be out. They were meeting last night, and that might have been the conclusion.
Well, that becomes an opportunity if we can really, handle this correctly, to see if we can put together a coalition with the common enemy being ISIS. All three of them are at risk of being wiped out by ISIS. So, there's a real basis for them working together, finally.
All right. Talking with Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Mayor, here's Waleed Faris. This hits home for you. Cut 12.
an enemy of Iraqis, of the Arabs, of the Middle East, of Israel, and of course of the international community. The European Union officials told me that they are concerned that ISIS already has somewhere between 1,800 to 3,000 jihadists, half of whom are going to go back to the West. We're talking about hundreds. Remember, two guys, what they've done in Boston. One guy, what he's done in Fort Hood. We have hundreds of jihadists. If ISIS is successful in Iraq, they're going to come back to the West.
As a president, as president and a leader, you have to explain that to us. The Americans don't need to be educated on it. They need to explain to us. Do you think Waleed Faris is overstating this?
No, not at all. No, ISIS is exceedingly dangerous. And in fact, as I said before, in a strange way, we all end up with a common enemy here, which therefore becomes the basis to kind of organize these people. ISIS is exceedingly dangerous. It wants to become the primary operative for Islamic extremists to the disadvantage of, you know, just about everyone else. So that should become a rallying cry to bring people together. And if the administration were more articulate about it, I think it would be enormously helpful.
You've been to Israel a number of times?
Yeah, I have. I was in Israel at least three times after catastrophic events, right after Rabin's assassination, right after the attack on the bus in Jerusalem. I rode the bus with Mayor Olmert when it got started. And then I went with my wife and Mayor-elect Bloomberg and Governor Pataki right after Sparrow Pizza attack. So I've been there a lot, and I've, of course, Bibi Netanyahu was a friend of mine for 25 years and a good friend.
Do you fault Israel for being so aggressive in Gaza?
I'm sorry to laugh. Shouldn't laugh about something like this. I think it is so ridiculous, the coverage that goes on here. I mean, people are being wiped out all over the world by Islamic extremists. Children are being killed by Islamic extremists deliberately. And here, Israel is trying to defend itself, and Hamas has surrounded the areas from which the attacks are emanating with children. And Israel has done everything it can to try to get people to leave there. I've never heard of an attack that takes place, and then there's a warning beforehand that you should leave. You know, a day before, you're told, please leave so we don't harm you.
Right.
So I think Israel is doing everything it can. I mean, I know people have used this before, but just think if, when I was mayor, someone was attacking New York City from a place that was surrounded by children. Okay, and they did it on purpose, and they were shooting bombs in hundreds, thousands. Well, you have to do something to protect your people.
Yep.
And I think this is what has happened here, and I think the anti-Israeli propaganda is really frightening to see the way these things are turned around.
All right, and by the way, here's a little of Sean Hannity's interview with Benjamin Netanyahu last night. Cut 14.
Hamas in Gaza danced and cheered when 9/11 took place. They viewed bin Laden as a hero in Israel.
Do we need to know anything else?
No, we don't. We need to know what our friends are. I worked for Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan had a very simple and very, very dramatic and powerful take on Israel. He used to say, the United States has very few friends. In life, you have very few very, very good friends. Israel is one of our very good friends. We support them. They support us. We share values in a part of the world in which those values are desecrated constantly. I mean, of course we should be helping Israel. And we should be more understanding of the security problems they face. Because I think if we faced the security problems they faced, we would react even more boldly.
I would hope so. Listen, I know we have a lot to discuss, but I cannot go the interview with Rudy Giuliani and not look at the New York Post and get your take. One of the things you did, you made life better for average New Yorkers. You cut down back on crime, you cut back on the violence, and you told the squeegee guys you're fired. They're now on the cover of the New York Post. Squeegee men are back. They are sitting harassing those going in and out of the tunnels and bridges, people stuck in traffic, and then shaking down people for money. How did we get to this point? The same week, the same mayor that allowed this is allowing stop and frisk to the appeal on stop and frisk to go by the boards. The same mayor is allowing Al Sharpton to dictate police behavior. What is happening to our city, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I I think the election last year was a mistake. I think it's the mayor is headed in the wrong direction. I do think he has a terrific police commissioner in Bill Bratton. I'd like to see him support Bratton. And I also have tremendous confidence that Bratton can somehow navigate his way through this and keep the police department on the track of reducing crime.
He looks like he's being kept hostage. He's not acting like himself. He's not speaking boldly or the way he handled Los Angeles and New York. He's like a different guy, Commissioner Bratton.
Well, I think, you know, the mayor is the mayor, as, you know, every once in a while in the debates we would have would come out. The mayor is the mayor. The mayor really calls the shots. But I think within those parameters, I think Bratton, he's about the best choice we could have had. So I'm hoping he's going to be able to keep this all focused. He understands the value of the broken windows theory, which is now under attack, as well as the sensible use of stop and frisk. After all, he started it when I was the mayor. He started the whole practice of stop and frisk, and he used it really very, very intelligently.
Here he is explaining the squeegee catastrophe. Cut 21.
Even the quality of life behavior that is being talked about now, it's still out there, quite obviously, because we're still finding enforcement. Today's New York Post, you'd think we were being overrun by squeegee pests.
I know. Let's take a look at that.
They document three people that have been seen acting as squeegee pests. We're not being overrun. Those will be taken care of very, very quickly. But there's the dilemma. You have those that want it enforced, and you have those that don't want it enforced. We enforce the law. We enforce behavior, and we don't go after any class of
people. I hate to
tell
you, I go in and out of New York every day for the last 18 years. I haven't seen a squeegee guy. The fact is even three out there on the heels of all these other things that's going on, I think it shows it's not an anomaly.
No, it's not. And the reality is, you have to always keep on track. This on in your sights. I mean, we together, Bill Bratton and I, wiped out the squeegees in 1994. But I have to say, every year you'd have to once again go back and make sure they didn't return. Whether it was Bill Bratton as commissioner, Howard Schaefer, or Bernie Kerik, it's a constant battle. And then sometimes these quality of life things change from squeegees to other things that have to be dealt with. But they're really important to creating a sense of order and what's required of people in the community, including getting rid of all the graffiti, which used to overwhelm New York, which was basically vandalism run amok.
Rudy, one of the big stories this week is the amount of hacking, and the Russians
came and
took our passwords, our usernames on a myriad of things, tens of thousands, even millions. I'm not sure what they're going to do with them or what's going to happen, but we're vulnerable. And when LifeLock, and I'm being totally candid here, said, I want to go on your show, want to advertise on the show, I had already signed up for it on my own without a discount. So you're on talking about LifeLock. Your name is gold when it comes to security. Why did you jump on board?
Well, first of all, I'm a security consultant to them. I've helped them devise some of their programs. My firm, Giuliani Partners, has worked with them now for several years. So we're very closely aligned with them. And I have been worried about this, talking about this for 10 years. And then I found LifeLock, and I think, for me, they're the best solution. Here's the important point. Whether it's LifeLock or some other service, and I think LifeLock is the best, there are others, you got to have protection. You can't, in the modern world, if you're online, you've got to have identity theft protection. You cannot protect yourself. All this data that's been stolen, it's being mined now. Different experts are coming in. They're trying to figure out how can we use it. How can we use it to set up Social Security accounts for somebody, you know, 10 years before they want Social Security? How can we set up student loans? How can we get into their bank accounts? This information is sold to different groups of criminals who then are experts in looking for what they're trying to steal, what they're trying to take. It's the fastest growing form of crime. You can change your passwords. You should. You can check your bank accounts. You should. You should do all these things for yourself. But none of us has the time to really do this properly, which is why you need to get a service that is basically watching for you 24 hours a day. So, yes, I'm a security consultant for them. I try to get people as much as possible to get involved with LifeLock. But as far as I'm concerned, the most important thing is to get protection. If you like LifeLock, get LifeLock. If you like something else, get something else. But right. Definitely protect yourself.
I know there was some activity on my account, and I got text message 2 days after I got it. So I was able to call and find out about it. I thought that was pretty cool.
I've had that with me too over the years that I've been a LifeLock client. You get messages when there's any kind of suspicious use. Sometimes it's actually you using it. Sometimes it's somebody fooling around and trying to test out your account. Very often, when they're going to do a big test, they do a small one first. They do a couple of small ones so you don't notice it, but they realize it works. LifeLock will help you pick those up so you can stop it before it becomes big.
And if I do lose everything to these Russian hackers, could I stay in your attic?
You can anytime, Brian.
Thank you.
You know you're one of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, thanks for joining us. Appreciate everything
care,
I put you through.
And you're doing a great job in the morning. I love Fox and Frank.
Thank you. We love having you on, too. All right. Mayor Rudy Giuliani, thanks. Listen, when we come back, we're going to squeeze in some calls. Promise.
It's Kilmeade and Friends on Fox News Talk.